All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Uncanny Valley. I'm just going for an hour. I know I said I'll do more, but yeah, things have been a little crazy. We're getting close to the big holiday season that we have, so yeah, maybe I'll do some stuff Sunday, or I don't know, because I'm kind of behind, and maybe we'll do something like that. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started with, excuse me guys, it's Come Home, and this is the premium edition of the game. So, it's a little older, but it's still considered to be a classic AVN. I know the models might not look as good as some of the others, but it's still got a really good story, and I think the models get a little better in the next couple of chapters. This is the remastered edition of it, I believe. So, let's go ahead and continue. Okay, so quick tour of Skyhill, the town we both know and love. You know where our house and school are, obviously. And Jackson Burger, the best burgers in town. Further down the street here, there's law offices that Mom was talking about. You should stop by there sometime and see about getting a job. I've seen a help wanted sign in the window for a long time. Some of my friends said the boss is a bitch. But you're pretty desperate, so you might just have to suck it up and deal with it. Then over there, there's the shopping center. Everything in the town is here, basically, starting with the supermarket. And here's Java Lava, where I work. And that's pretty much it. Small, boring town. Nothing ever happens. Does the supermarket sell phones? There's a little shop next to it that does. Could we stop there and then at the law offices on the way back? I guess. She parks at the supermarket, and we walk over to the mobile phone store, where I buy the cheapest phone I can find. Then she drives to the law office. I'm staying in the car. Good luck. Don't take too long, or I'm gonna leave you. I step out and walk up to the door. How am I supposed to know how long this'll take? It isn't really something I can control. The glass door has Law Offices of Mills and Gonzalez printed on it in white lettering. Below that, a printed sign is taped on the inside that says, Help Wanted. I open the door and walk inside. The small lobby is decorated with a few potted plants and uncomfortable looking chairs on the left. On the right, a large desk sits empty. A hallway stretches forward some ways with doors on both sides. The place is empty. Nobody in sight. Hello? I call out. I hear some rustling coming from down the hallway and a woman's voice calls back. Just a second, I'll be right with you. A frazzled young woman rushes out of the second door on the left, her arms full of papers. Can I help you? I'm here about the Help Wanted poster. Oh, really? Great. Let me see if Miss Mills has time to see you. Just have a seat over there. I sit down in one of the flimsy chairs as she places a stack of papers onto the desk in the lobby, then turns to rush back down the hall. I hear a knock on a door there, and then some muffled conversation as she speaks to whom I assume is Miss Mills. Then she emerges from the hall once again. Miss Mills is on a phone call right now, but she'll be out in a few minutes to speak to you, if you can wait. I can wait.
My name is Dana, by the way.
Great. My name is Dana, by the way. As she said. You guys couldn't hear that. Neither could I. I'm Grim. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, too. We sit in uncomfortable silence for some time. She looks through the stack of papers, dividing them into several piles while I sit in the chair looking over at a fashion magazine I have absolutely no interest in. So, are you going to school at Skyhill? I'm starting next week. I've been going to a school in Brazil for the last 3 years, but just moved back to town. Brazil? Wow, how was that? It was pretty cool. I wish I could never...
get out of this town. If I had enough money to leave,
I'm not really sure how to respond to that, and before I get a chance to think of what to say, an older woman who I can only assume is Miss Mills walks out of the back hall. She looks directly at me with piercing blue eyes. She is a petite woman, but her gaze is intimidating, and her stance is almost predatory like a mountain lion ready to pounce.
You hear about the job?
Yes, ma'am.
Come with me, let's talk in my office.
As I walk past her desk, Dana whispers.
Good luck.
She gives me a smile and I follow Miss Mills back to her office at the far end of the hall, on the right. Miss Mills' office has wood-paneled bookshelves fitted into the walls, all filled with law books, small statues, and other little decorative objects. Two windows behind her desk look out to the green pastures and woods behind the office. The rest of her walls are covered with photos of herself shaking hands with people who must be important, along with the various certificates, awards, and accreditations. We can say that word, folks. Accreditations that she had earned over the years. Her desk is simple and elegant, neatly organized, though there are a few visible coffee stains that haven't been cleaned up properly. She sits in her desk chair and invites me to sit in one of the wide padded chairs on the opposite side.
My name is Rhonda Mills, half of the Mills and Gonzalez Law Firm.
The other lawyer who uses these offices is Romero Gonzalez, though he is rarely in. The position I'm hiring for is a part-time personal assistant for myself. My previous PA was not able to perform up to my standards, and I had to let him go several weeks ago. Since then, poor Dana out there has been performing double duty as both the office secretary and my personal assistant, and she just can't do what I require. I'll be honest with you, we're rather desperate to fill the position at this point. Sorry, guys. If you're willing to do the job and you can show me that you're not a complete moron, I'll hire you today on a trial basis. What does the job require? Mostly just running errands for me, keeping track of my calendar, sorting paperwork, answering phones, and cleaning and organizing my office. There may be other jobs that pop up from time to time. Your main job will be to do whatever I ask you to do. I'm going to college, so there are certain times I won't be available. What hours will I be required to work? We can be accommodating. Come in and work for 4 hours after you get out of school every weekday, and we'll try to work around special occasions. I understand that school comes first. What's the pay? Pay is $15 per hour plus more for special circumstances, such as times where you are needed for specific tasks or events outside of your normal work. What does that mean exactly? I can't even attempt to predict what I might need you for. There are times that I have a late trial and need a hand carrying things to and from the courtroom or need somebody to pick up dinner or something. If I ever ask you to work outside of your 4 hours per weekday, I'll pay you double your normal $15 per hour. Right now I don't have a car, so I'm not sure that I'd be able to do the errands that the job seems to require. Oh, that's no problem. If you have a valid driver's license, you can drive one of our cars. We have two spares that we keep for employees. You can even use it away from work for all I care, so as long as you sign a waiver that if you crash it, you pay for it. Sounds like a great job. Flexible, good pay, and a free car to boot? It seems to fit exactly what I would, with what I would need right now. I'll take the job. She holds out her hand and I shake it. Great. What's your name again? It's Grim. Alright, Grim. You start on Monday. Just come to work immediately after school and plan to work for 4 hours. Talk to Dana out there to finish up your paperwork and tell her to give you the keys to one of the cars and I'll see you on Monday. Awesome. Thank you so much. No, thank you, Grim. I look forward to working with you. Something about the way that she says that and the way her eyes shift downwards only minutely makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I ignore it, though, because the job seems to be perfect for me and I walk out to the lobby once again. How'd it go? I got the job. Great. It'll be nice to have a new face around here that's my age. Everybody else is so old. But I didn't say that. She told me to have you finish up the paperwork and to give me the keys to one of the cars. Right. I'll get everything ready. It takes about 10 more minutes to finish everything up before Dana hands me the key to one of the company cars. You're all set. Looking forward to seeing you on Monday. Thanks, Dana. Looking forward to seeing you too. Have a great weekend. You too. I leave the office and head towards the company car, almost forgetting that Susie is still waiting for me. Oh my god, it's about time. Hey Susie, I actually have a ride now. They gave me one of the company cars. What? They gave you a car? Well, just to use while I work here. Still, that's crazy. So they just hired you on the spot? Yup, I got the job. How? I had like 3 girlfriends who applied for that same job and never got a call back. Really? Yeah, they said that the woman didn't even seem interested in hiring them. What did you do to get that job? Just walked in and asked for it. Didn't perform any favors then? What? No, don't be gross. Alright, sure, if you say so. She looks at me suspiciously. I reach into her car and take out my bag that has a cell phone in it. Well, I'll see you at home. Thanks again for driving me around today. Yeah, see you later. She pulls out quickly and cuts off two people as she drives onto the busy road in front of the law offices. I walk over to one of the company cars. They both look exactly the same. Generic black sedans, a few years old with slightly tinted windows. I press the unlock button on the key fob and one of the cars beeped. I open the driver's side door and get inside. The inside of the car is clean and smells a bit musty, as if it hasn't been used for a while. It is simple and not very flashy, but it will get me around until I can buy a car of my own. Actually, it is probably better than any car that I'd ever owned. I've only had one car before, an old junker that my dad had gotten me. It barely ran and needed constant work. I sold it off before going to Brazil, then down here. I didn't have any form of transportation. I just walked everywhere. The car starts as soon as I turn the key, and once I back out onto the street, it drives perfectly fine. It doesn't have much power, but enough to get me from place to place. I would have taken the job even without the car, but now, not having to rely on somebody else to drive me around is the best feeling. It's evening now. I have a little time to do some things before heading home for the night, and I have the means to go anywhere I want. I suddenly remember the park that I used to play at when I was younger and wonder what it looks like now. There are plenty of places to go, and I have plenty of time to check out that park later. Where do I want to go now? Hey there, I'm RJ, the person who makes this silly porn game. Do you want to see a little tutorial about how to play before we get started? Sure, whatever. Okay, so the game is fairly simple. There's the main story where you're trying to figure out what happened to your father. But honestly, we're not in a big hurry to find him. There's so many other things to do. Daddy can wait. In the meantime, there's a lot of characters to meet and date and get to know. By get to know, I mean fuck. You're gonna fuck them. Okay, so there are four time periods during a day. Morning, afternoon, evening, and night. If you look up at the left side of the screen, you'll see how many days you've played, the weekday, and the time of day. Down below that, you can click one of the weekdays to skip to the morning of that day. So if you find yourself wanting to skip to the next weekend, just click the button for that day and you can do that. Throughout the game, you'll be able to decide how you want to spend your time though school and work take up your afternoons on weekdays. You'll choose what to do by clicking on a photograph here on the main map screen. If a photograph is pink, it means that there's new content there that you haven't seen before. If it's white, it means you've seen everything there, but you can still spend time with the character if you like. If there's nothing that you want to do, you can always skip the time by clicking on the big photograph on the right. You see the heart up there? The heart up here on the upper right side of the screen? That's the affection menu. Let's take a look at it. So here's all the ladies in the game. The affection menu is pretty cool. You can see all 20 of the characters in the game here. If there's a character that you don't like, you can just click on the heart next to their name and they will stop showing up in your game, except for the main story-related scenes. Okay. There's nothing wrong with turning off characters that you don't care for, but maybe give them a try, at least. A lot of these characters are quite a bit different than they first appear. Next to some characters, you'll see a speaker icon. That means those characters have some of their lines voiced. If for some reason you don't like the voice of the character, you can turn off their voice by clicking the speaker next to their name. Also, if you notice one character's nameplate has changed color and their face is covered with stuff, that means you've completed all content with that character. Good job, stud. If you click a character, it will take you to their profile page. Let's look at one. Okay, this is the character's profile page. It shows you all the character's content that you can replay anytime you want. You can see here that it's split up into scenes and conversations. Down at the bottom, it will give you a hint for what you could do to unlock something new for that character. Now let's click one of these categories and look at Tammy's scene options. Whatever category you choose to look at, it'll appear something like this. You see all the content in that category listed. When the Polaroid is blacked out, that means you have not seen the scene yet. If it shows a font thumbnail of a character on the Polaroid, that means that you have to advance with that character some to unlock the scene. If you click on a scene that you haven't unlocked, it'll give you a hint on how to unlock the scene. If you click content that you've already seen and unlocked, you can replay that content, allowing you to experience the scene in its entirety whenever you'd like. Okay, let's exit all the way out now. The goal here is to have fun, hang out with the people that you like, and don't worry about the ones you're not interested in. You do not have to advance the story with any particular character to move forward in the game, so just focus on the ones that you like. There are also no penalty for romancing multiple characters. Feel free to play how you choose. And that's pretty much it. Simple, right? Oh, and one last thing before I leave you. There are some voices and sex sounds in the game. I'm letting you know because if you're playing on a bus or something, you might want to wear the earbuds. You can also go into the menu settings down here, then adjust the volumes of the music, the sounds, and the voices separately. Okay, that's it. I'll leave you to it. Have fun. Okay, so there's a lot of different things we can do with this one. This is neat. I mean, yes, it's definitely outdated, but I haven't seen an AVN like this before where I literally have this many options. I mean, Love of Magic, kinda, but there's a lot more. It's not just like showing me a town and different buildings. We could talk to Jamie, comfort Lisa, help Dana, go to the park like we said, meet the barista, or just go to Jackson Burger. There's also, you can talk to a woman at the school cafe if you want to. Let's talk to Jamie. I decide to go see Jamie. I walk up to her door and knock twice. After a minute or so, she answers wearing cloth shorts and a t-shirt tight enough that I can make out the outlines of her nipples through it.
Oh, hi.
What's up, Grim? Just wondering what you were up to.
I'm just watching TV. Want to come inside and hang out?
Sure, but you can actually tell people to buzz off. Like, you literally tell people to fuck off if you don't. That's interesting. I've never seen this much choice where you can just like, you know what? Nah, I'm not interested in you. I'm going to go to somebody else. Sure. She leads me to the living room where the TV is paused on a show that I don't recognize. I was just trying to finish up this series that I've been watching before school starts up again. Cool, I barely watch any TV anymore. Really? I love TV. I probably watch way too much. We sit there for a few moments in awkward silence. There are a couple times where Jamie seems like she wants to say something, but she doesn't. It feels very strange, like she's uncomfortable with me for some reason, like there's something between us. I have to break this silence with literally any conversation. Oh, I have a cell phone now. Awesome, what's your number? I tell her my new number and she puts it into her phone. Then she turns her phone around and holds it up to take a picture of herself. I sent you a text message along with a picture of me so you can add me into your contacts and we can chat whenever. Great, I'll be sure to add you as soon as I get back home and get the phone set up. She sits on the couch next to me, leaning back against the armrest to face me, her bare legs folded up underneath her. Do you want to watch my TV show with me? Sure. It's called The Nieces of Callahan. Have you ever watched any of it? Nope. Well, I'm sure you'll be completely lost, but I'll try to catch you up. She plays the show, but talks pretty much the whole time through it, explaining which character was which, who was sleeping with who, and which characters she liked and hated. The show doesn't interest me too much, but as we sit together, she moves closer and closer until our sides are touching. I think about putting an arm around her shoulder, but I'm not sure what she'd think about it. Still, being there next to her is nice. Finally, the show ends. Did you like it? Honestly, I couldn't really follow it, but what I saw was okay. Yeah, you kind of have to watch it from the beginning. Thanks for sitting through it with me anyway. That was nice. Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. I'm so glad you're back in town. I know we didn't hang out much before you left, but I've always liked you and thought about you. Yeah, we had some good times when we were younger. Yeah, we did. I wish we would have stayed friends through high school. I made a lot of bad decisions then. I think we all did. Ain't that the truth? She smiles at me when standing awkwardly for a few moments. Anyway, I better get home. Okay, well, thanks for coming to see me. Stop by any time or send me a text if you want to chat.
See you later.
She smiles and waves as I walk out the door, shutting it behind me, and walk over to my house. Well, I can't do anything else, so I can just go to bed. I'm so tired that all I want to do is lie down on the bed and go to sleep. Really tired of watching television, right? Just all that television. So much hard work, that television. But I need to get my phone set up first. I plug it beside my bed and wait for it to charge up enough to come on. Once it does, I set up my name and email address and all that, putting all my information into it. The text that Jamie sent me pops up on my screen. along with the picture that she took of herself in that thin t-shirt. I see it as her profile picture on my phone and put her into my contacts. By the time I finish with everything, my eyes are already involuntarily closing. The next 2 days will be the last free time that I will have for a while, with work and school coming up next week. I should make them count. I fall asleep hard and don't wake until the following morning. I am woken in the morning by a knock on my bedroom door. Grim, there's a police officer here to talk to you. I bolt upright in bed. Police? I haven't done anything to warrant a police officer coming to get me. She wants to ask you some questions about your father. Of course it's about Dad. Stupid. Okay, give me a couple minutes. Come down whenever you're ready. I get up and quickly put on some clothes, go to the bathroom for my morning leak, straighten my hair, and brush my teeth. Then I take a deep breath and head downstairs. Lisa is sitting on the couch with another woman who's dressed in a sharp-looking suit. When she said a police officer was here, I hadn't expected somebody who looked like her. We'll find something soon. There's just no leads right now. I'm sorry. Oh, here's Grim. I'll let you two chat. I'll be in the kitchen if you need me. Stepmom gets up and walks past me, putting a hand on my shoulder as she passes. It's obvious that she's holding back tears. I guess the news is not good. The policewoman stands up from the couch and offers her hand. Hi, Grim. I'm Detective Rodriguez. I'm the lead investigator on your father's case. I shake her hand. Her grip is strong, and despite her being a foot shorter than me, her posture and eyes make me feel like I'm a child in front of her. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, too. Why don't you have a seat so we can talk? Is everything okay? Did you find out anything about my dad? Not yet. I'm just here to do a quick interview with you. Do you mind if I record? She pulls a small voice recorder out of her pocket and puts it on the table in front of the couch, then switches it on. Do you have any questions for me before we get started? Let's see, who else have you interviewed? Let me look. She quickly flips through a small notepad. We talked to the two people he lived with, Lisa and Susie. That's all? From my notes, you're the only remaining family member and you were out of the country. Previous wife died of cancer, both parents died of natural causes, no siblings. And it seems as if your father did not have very many friends. By all accounts, he spent most of his time in the basement. Is there anybody you can think of we should talk to? I try to think of any of my dad's friends, but can't come up with anybody. He focused entirely on his work and me when I was growing up. No, I guess not. If you think of anybody, be sure to let me know. My notes say he worked from home doing some sort of computer programming from the basement. He was a quantum engineer. Not really sure what that is. It involves engineering on a quantum level, so he wasn't a computer programmer. He was a scientist. Okay, but he worked for PQ Technologies, right? Yeah, he's been working for them for over 20 years. And he worked from home on his computer, correct? Yeah, he'd been working in their laboratory here in Sky Hill, but when the lab closed 5 years ago, he began doing all his work remotely. Do you know anything about the kind of work he was doing? Not really, no. Quantum engineering is all I know. He never really talked about his work. I see. Well, I talked to his supervisor, and from what I can tell, the two did not really have a relationship. Your father sent his work in weekly, and the company paid his salary. Everything was conducted through email, and there was no real contact. Did you do any investigation around the house? Our investigators looked through his car, which seems like it hadn't been driven in a long time. We could not find the keys for the car, though. I assume he took them with him wherever he went. We did a walkthrough of the house and didn't see anything suspicious. We went to the basement and looked through his equipment, but it seemed to all be work-related stuff down there. Our techs tried to gain access to his computer, but everything was password-protected and encrypted. From our investigation, it did not seem there were any clues to be gained by searching the house further. She looks up at me with compassionate eyes. No, I don't think so. Statistics show that if a person is murdered, there's a 90% chance it was a family member. Lisa seems to genuinely love him, and I saw no history of domestic violence. Same with Susie. There didn't seem to be any malice there either. And you were not even in the country, which seems to rule you out. The only likely way he would have been murdered is if there was an intruder, which I saw no sign of. Or if he met somebody outside the house, which seems unlikely, as my information shows that he rarely went anywhere. I guess that makes sense. I can't think of any reason why anybody would want to kill him. Right. I'm not making any promises, but right now I don't think this looks like a murder case. So you have no real leads? Honestly, no. It looks like your dad just disappeared off the face of the earth. No traces of where he went, no suspects, and no sightings. It's rare that I see a case like this where we have zero clues whatsoever. But your dad was a very secretive person. We've had a hard time finding out what he was doing in the basement all day. Excuse me. We've had a hard time finding out what he was doing in that basement all day. He was just working down there, right? Maybe. But from what I can tell, he was down there all the time. He was always very involved in his work. I've heard that, but usually when someone is sinking themselves into their work like that, there's other factors involved. And while I have no real solid leads right now, I do have some suspicions. Which are? I'm hesitant to tell you those until I'm able to solidify them, and to do that, I need to ask you some questions as well. Okay then, I want to ask you some questions now. My information says that you've been away to college in Brazil for the last 3 years. That's correct. Why Brazil? It's one of the best colleges in the world for quantum physics, which was my major. So you're a scientist like your father? He's an engineer. I'm more of a theoretical guy, but yes, we have a similar mindset and we studied similar things. Do you know what he has been working on then? No, we hadn't spoken in some time and never about his work. That's a little strange, isn't it? You both study the same field, but don't talk about it? He was always secretive about his work for PQ Tech. There were non-disclosure agreements involved. Were you angry at him for any reason? I wouldn't say I was angry. We had some arguments before I left. It was all just teenage bullshit. I love my dad, and I very much want to find him. When was the last time you spoke to him? I have to think about this one for a while. He called me on Christmas. Christmas? That was 9 months ago. Yeah, we didn't talk much for 3 years that I was away. My fault. My fault, really. I never called him and didn't make myself available to be called. So you really don't know anything, do you? No, I don't. I don't think I really even know my father that well. That's unfortunate. I was going to ask you some more questions, but I don't see how you're going to be able to help me with them. I have them written down here and everything. Do you know if your father was talking to other women? Do you know if your father was suicidal? Do you know if your father and Lisa are happy together? I don't know for sure on any of those things. But from what I can tell and what I do know about my dad, I don't think he was talking to other women. He always seemed happy with Lisa. If you had to guess, what do you think happened to him? I really have no idea. None of it makes much sense. I'll agree on that one. This whole thing is really weird. I notice that throughout the interview, Detective Rodriguez has gone from being a bit uptight and professional to now being much more familiar and personable. She's talking to me more like a friend now than a suspect. Well, that's all I have for you right now. I'm going to keep looking into the case, but I'm sort of at the end of my rope here. Plus, this is only one of the cases in the sea of different investigations that I'm currently drowning in. I could really use some help here if you could do some investigating on your own. Okay, what should I look for then? Just anything that might tell us what your father was thinking in the days before he disappeared. Any journals or people who he might have talked to. Maybe just ask around with people who might have known your father. A lot of times people will talk to the family more than they will the police. Plus, when I get it approved, I'm going to unlock the basement for you. You could help out a lot by going down there and searching through your father's things for anything that might be useful. My people don't know what half the stuff down there actually is. It's locked up as a crime scene right now, but I don't think that any crime took place down there, and I should be able to get approval soon to unlock it. I'll let you know if I find any more information, and you do the same. She hands me a business card with her phone number on it. That'll get you directly to my cell phone, anytime, day or night. If you find anything of use, call that number. Got it? Got it. Thank you. Well, find him, okay? Okay. Tell Lisa I said goodbye, will you? I need to go. Okay. I walk her to the door, and she heads out to her car, starts it up, and drives away. I glance over at the basement. I really want to see what's down there. But for now, I guess I still need to wait. The detective has given me a lot to think about, though. You can visit Jamie. You can visit Susie at work. Or you can visit Lisa in the kitchen. Huh. Well, we can visit Jamie. I walk over to Jamie's house and knock on the door. Jamie's dad answers the door and looks at me with a visible snarl. Is Jamie home?
Look, Grim, I don't know why you're back, and I don't really care. But you just leave my Jamie out of it. I don't want you talking to her. I don't want you looking at her. I don't even want you thinking about her. Now get the hell off my porch and don't come back over here again!
Before I can even formulate a response, he slams the door in my face. I'm so confused, I have no idea what I did to make him hate me so much. I'll just have to talk to Jamie sometime when he's not here. Well, that didn't go too well. Susie's working, but she just looks at me angrily when I start to approach the counter. She's obviously still mad at me. I should try to talk to her at home sometime and see if we can patch things up. For now, I'll just leave. Lisa stands in the kitchen cooking some eggs in a pan on the stove. Good morning, honey. Want some breakfast? I'll cook you some eggs and bacon. She returns to the stove and cooks us both breakfast. Then we sit down together and have a nice conversation while eating breakfast. What should I talk with Lisa about? Do you like to drink? Where's the key to Dad's car? Have you ever been to a concert? Oh yeah, I used to go to concerts all the time when I was younger. And your father and I actually went to one just a couple of years ago. Really? I didn't know that. Who was playing? Great Big C, do you know them? Oh, I've never heard of them. Oh, they're kind of an older audience, I guess. They're a rock band, but they do versions of traditional folk music. Oh, that's cool. Kind of down for that. I don't think they play anymore, though. Well, that's cool. I never remember Dad ever listening to music, really. Excuse me. I never remember Dad even listening to music, really. He always played podcasts or audiobooks in the car. Ah, yes, he did do that. He liked some music, though. He liked traditional folk music, Celtic stuff. We had a lot of fun at that concert. Yeah, I like the Celtic stuff. It was a really nice night. Okay, that's probably all I need to hear. Yeah, probably. Afterwards, she cleans up the plates and I head upstairs and get distressed for the... Excuse me, we're not going to get distressed for the day, we're getting dressed for the day. This is the wholesome month, I told you. Wholesome games. You know, not anything crazy. Alright. So visit Susie at work. You can't do that. Go to Jackson Burger. I get in line and go up to the counter to place my order. Taking orders is the owner himself, Mr. Jackson, who has been running this place since it opened roughly 100 years ago. He's in his 70s now, but still sharp, funny, and charismatic. What can I get for you, young man? I'll have a burger combo. Ah, my favorite. That'll be $5. My God, were those the days. $5? Wow. Hey, can I get two then? Because that's like totally the price of what it would cost now for a burger combo. It's gotta be going to McDonald's. Yeah, I want to get the $20 value menu. Be funny if it wasn't sad. He takes my money and quickly stashes it away inside the register. You just have a seat and one of my girls will bring it out to you in a few minutes. I sit at an empty table and look around at the other patrons. All of them sitting with other people. Boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, or just friends. And here I am alone. I need to make some new friends fast. I hate eating at restaurants like this by myself. I know that a lot of people do it, but it just feels so lonely. Should have just brought a chimpanzee in, right? Oh yeah, it's just me and my chimpanzee here. Right, yeah, yeah. The waitress brings my order out to the table and I eat by myself. She returns a couple of times to refill my drink, but doesn't talk much. When I'm done, I stand up and give her a wave. Bye, hon. Have a good day. I put $5 on the table before I leave. A group of people are standing in a covered picnic area, talking loudly and listening to music. They're either cool or they're gonna whoop my ass. I think about walking up to them and even take a few steps. There's a woman there and three men. all standing around talking and watching other people in the park. Music thumps from a speaker sitting on one of the tables. They are openly passing a joint between each other and watch me approach with narrowed eyes. I notice the outline of a pistol in one of their pockets. Yup, good brother right there. And chicken out, turning the other way, pretending that I was never walking towards them. I make an awkward loop and head back to my car. Maybe some other time. I don't have any reason to even try to talk to them right now, and they don't even seem like the type of people to be up for a friendly chat. Yeah, they gonna whoop my ass. I start up the car and get out of there. Peek on Susie in the bathroom, call Jamie, or go to bed. Looks like Susie's in the bathroom. I peek inside. She's brushing her teeth. Leave before she notices. I back away quietly from the door. This is weird. I'm not used to a visual novel like this. Or an AVN. Jamie picks up after a couple rings. Hey, Grim, what's up? What should I chat with Jamie about? Am I going to ask everybody in the world about music? Yes, because my background is music. I don't really listen to a lot of music. I play some instrumental stuff while I'm studying. Fair. But aside from that, I'll listen to what's ever on the radio. That's unfortunately most people. You know, whatever's out, I'll listen to. That's why we literally have a Billboard Top 40 and it's all like pop and stuff like that. Because people are like, well, yeah, it's on the radio, I'll listen to it. And it manages to get a bunch of freaking hits and streams and money and all that because it's just what people are listening to. They don't really care. They don't have a preference. They're like, okay, well, that's the thing everybody's listening to, so I'll listen to it. I'm not really picky about it, and I don't know a lot about bands or singers or anything like that. That's crazy. I could introduce you to some good stuff. I'd like that. I wouldn't mind learning more about different types of music. This is black metal. This is death metal. This is Viking metal. This is power metal. This is thrash metal. This is doom metal. This is progressive thrash metal. This is stoner doom metal. This is avant-garde metal. This is progressive metal. This is progressive black metal. This is progressive doom metal. This is what they call black gaze. And this is going to be doom gaze. And this here is going to be, yeah. See? Plenty of different kinds of music, right? It's never been a huge interest to me, but if you were guiding me, I would definitely be more into it. We finish talking and eventually hang up. Then I go get ready for bed. Let's see. Visit Lisa in the kitchen. Visit Susie at work. I don't think Susie's gonna be happy to see me. Yeah, it's not gonna work. Okay. Then why is that an option? Want some breakfast? Alright. What do you do in your free time? I feel like I really don't do a lot. I'm kind of lazy. If I'm not at work, I'm usually cooking or cleaning around the house. So when I get free time, I just tend to veg in front of the TV and watch bad reality TV. Okay, yeah, that definitely shows the era this game was made in. Because reality TV is really not a thing anymore. But my God, it used to be. Remember Mudvayne wrote a song called TV Radio. It was about that. Very good song. It gives you an idea of what the shows and TV used to be like. Oh, I hate that stuff. That's the thing. I don't really like it either, but it completely shuts my brain off when I'm watching it. So I can stop thinking about everything else that's going on and just focus on these dumb reality stars' lives. I get it. I don't want to ever watch it, but I get it. Now see, some reality shows still survived, like Survivor, I think, is still a thing, and The Amazing Race might still be a thing, and of course there's also The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Those have survived, and there's a few others, but they're really waning, like, you know, Europe and the UK, they still have a lot of different things, but it's not like it used to be. I watch good television sometimes, too, though. Sure you do. Don't tease me, you're just like your dad, always teasing me about what shows I watch. I know they're dumb, I don't care. I watch whatever I want to watch. Afterwards, she cleans up the plates and I head upstairs and get dressed for the day. Not getting distressed for the day, or getting dressed for the day. I'm not going to go back to Jackson Burger and get another freaking burger. If I go there, there's probably going to be... Oh, I go to the park and spot a group of people at the skate park, riding around and doing tricks. Well, that's cool. That brings me back. They pay no attention to me as I walk over and sit at a nearby bench. One of the skaters in particular catches my attention. It's a girl with multicolored dreadlocks that I'm pretty sure are fake. She wears a pair of baggy pants and a crop top shirt that her breasts frequently threaten to escape from. I watch as she performs stunts on a skateboard that I can barely even comprehend. She seems really into it, not paying attention to anything happening outside of her skateboard. After some time, she notices me watching and smiles at me, but doesn't say anything, just continues skating. I watch for a while longer before deciding to head back to my car. Okay, so what's next? You can approach the gang in the park. Be a man. Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go talk to them. I swallowed my fear and walked casually up towards the people standing around the picnic tables. As soon as I begin to approach, they stop what they're doing and turn towards me. They look intimidating, but I don't stop. I keep walking till I'm standing just a few yards away from them. Where are you going, twig boy? Twig boy? Yeah, 'cause you're about the size of a twig and my guys could snap you in two. I look over at them behind her. I almost believe that they could. I just thought I'd come over and say hi. I'm new in town. And you think we're the welcoming committee? We look like the type that invite you over, make you a casserole? Ah, casserole, you so funny, Izzy. Shut the fuck up, Moose. Sorry, girl, my bad. Anyways, we ain't no city council and we ain't an open forum. So you ain't welcome here. Get it, Twig? Bruh gonna get shot. Hold up. Oh, is that what you think? Fine, Moose, grab him. You got it, girl. With unnatural speed for his size, the big man charges towards me, arms out. Without even thinking about it, I turn and run the other way. He gives chase for a bit, but then gives up and goes back to the others. I don't stop, though. I just showed him how much of a pussy I am by running there, and now I can't just go back there and face them again. That's right. Keep running, Twig. She yells after me, taunting me as I head back towards my car. Maybe if I was more confident, I could stand my ground, but for now, I just wanted to get out of there. I could probably boost my confidence by chatting up random strangers at the school cafe. That seems like the most obvious way. Call Jamie again? Hey, Grim, what's up? Oh, I just wanted to call you and ask what your favorite food was. My favorite food? Does coffee count? I mean, I guess it's kind of a drink, though, not a food. Oh, I guess ice cream, then. Chocolate chip. Good choice. I thought so. I try not to eat it too much, though. I already don't work out enough and spend too much time in front of the TV. So if I added ice cream to all that, I'd probably just turn into a big dough ball. But for special occasions or when I really get a craving, chocolate chip ice cream is my go-to. We finish talking and eventually hang up. Then I go get ready for bed. I always wake up pretty early, so I have a little bit of time before I go to school. I just have to decide how I want to spend it. You can have breakfast with Susie, you can meet the barista, you can chat with Jamie, or you can get a drink at the school cafe. Or you can go to English class. Let's have breakfast with Susie. I look into the kitchen and see Susie is sitting at the dining room table playing on her phone and eating breakfast. There's more in the kitchen if you want some. I go to the kitchen and make a plate with what's left and sit across from her at the table. She doesn't even look up at me. She casually eats, not really even paying attention to the fact that I'm there. You should clean your mess in the bathroom. So how have you been doing? She raises her eyes towards me, looking slightly annoyed by my question. I've been fine. School going okay? We barely started the semester. I don't know how it's going. And work. You work at Java Lava, right? She turns her phone off and slides it into her pocket, then really looks up at me for the first time. Yeah, it's fine. It's not too hard and I get paid. You ever get any weird customers? Oh man, you wouldn't believe the guys we get in there. Who's your weirdest? So there's this one guy who comes in all the time. I don't even remember his name. We just call him the kombucha guy. We serve kombucha tea there, but it rarely gets ordered. But this guy comes in almost every day, at least 4 times a week, and buys 2 kombucha teas. He sits at a table by himself and stares out the window and drinks both of those teas back to back, then leaves a $2 tip and leaves. Weird. Have you ever talked to him? Oh yeah, he's a little crazy. He says he's some kind of musician, and he tried to get Tammy to go out with him. He told her that he's really famous over in Japan. Then he went on and on about how Japan is way better than here, how they have holographic baristas that make your coffee and bring it to your table, how he bought a phone there 5 years ago for $20 and doesn't have to pay a monthly fee because it runs off a satellite. Wow. He's always hitting on Tammy every time he comes in. She likes to mess with him, too. He came in one time and was telling her about how he invented this new clock that was small and you could carry it around with you. Isn't that just a watch? That's what Tammy said. He argued with her and told her it was completely different. So the next day, she told him about how she invented this new type of pastries that had fruit filling and were sold in individual packages and would fit perfectly in your toaster. Pop-Tarts? Yeah, but apparently he never heard of him because he went on and on about how it was an amazing idea and how he wanted to pay her to buy that idea from her so he could make it. Did she take his money? $50. That's fucked up. I know, right? She starts laughing and I can't help but laugh too. Not as often as they do to Tammy, but I get 1 or 2 a day. I've gone on dates with a few of the guys that I've met there, but nothing really panned out. Nobody harassing you, though? Nah, not really. Good, I'd hate to have to bust some heads. Bust heads? You? Don't make me laugh. Hey, I could do it. You talk a big game, but when it comes down to it, you'll run away. Just like you ran away to Brazil. I didn't run away, I got a scholarship. It was the best college for my field. We were just starting to get along. I was actually starting to enjoy having you around, my big step bro. Then you just leave and don't even call me, email me, nothing. You just leave. It felt like you wanted to get as far away from us as possible. That wasn't it. Don't lie. I can tell when you're lying. Okay, maybe I did want to get away a bit. But it wasn't about you or Lisa. It was just that I missed my mom, and I didn't like to see her replaced. I see now that I was childish then, that you weren't replacing her. I'm sorry. I'll do better now. I want us to be friends. I care about you, Susie. I really do. I care about you too, I guess. So can we put all that junk behind us? Yeah, let's do that. Let's start over. Great. Love you, stepsis. Glad we had this talk. Do you want a hug or something? Yeah, let's do that. We stand up and walk over towards each other. It is awkward at first, but after I wrap my arms around her and pull her close, we both relax. It feels right. I really do care about her and feel like we can have a real relationship now. I love you too, step bro. I'm glad you're back home. With that, it's time to go to school, so we say our goodbyes and I head out. It's my first day of school, and the campus is full of students rushing to their various rooms. It takes a few minutes for me to find a place to park and to walk to my first class, English. I find an empty seat and take a look around the room. There's a girl sitting on the other side of the room that looks familiar, but I can't place her. When it's time to start, my teacher steps in front of the class and writes her name on the dry erase board. Hello everyone, my name is Miss McGee and I'll be teaching you about comprehension and composition this year. She seems to be in her mid-40s and looks a little exotic with her long hair, dark eyes, and that strange medallion hanging over her breasts. She goes on to discuss the things we'll be learning throughout the semester. The pretty girl sitting next to me is intently focused on everything that Miss McGee says, writing non-stop into a notebook. Should I be taking notes? Maybe, but I'm not. When the class is over, I pack up my stuff and move on to the next class. The rest of my classes for the day are boring and uneventful. I breeze my way through them and then leave for the day. Immediately after finishing up my classes for the day, I head out to the car and drive over to the law offices where my new job is. I walk into work. Dana's sitting in the lobby. I wave hello to her. Hey there, new guy. Grim, wasn't it? That's me. Miss Mills is back in her office. Go right ahead. Hope you have a good day. Thanks, you too. I go back to Miss Mills' office. She sits at her desk, barely glancing at me when I walk in.
Good afternoon.
I hope you're ready to work. Yes, ma'am, I am. Good. I spend most of the day cleaning. The place had gotten pretty bad over the few weeks where she didn't have an assistant, and Miss Mills wants the place to be spotless. I dust everything, wipe every surface, vacuum the floor, and organize all the paperwork. Afterwards, Miss Mills has me type all her notes while she dictates. Luckily, I'm a fast typist because she's a fast talker and doesn't slow down at all. Finally, when it's time to go, she looks over at the notes that I had typed and gives a little nod.
You did good work today.
Keep it up, and maybe you'll be able to stick around here for a while. Thanks. See you tomorrow. Okay, goodbye, Miss Mills. I walk out and down the hall to the lobby. There, Dana's still working, sorting paperwork at her desk. Good night, Dana.
See you tomorrow.
I go outside and stand in front of the building for a moment, breathing the fresh air. It's been a long day, and I'm exhausted, and this is only the first. Every weekday is going to be like this, basically, leaving me only the evenings to do whatever I want. Alright, so what am I doing now? Get a drink, help Dana, talk to the woman at the cafe, visit Jamie, comfort Lisa, meet the barista, or go to Jackson Burger. I hang around the cafe for a while, looking for somebody who might be up for a chat. Eventually, a cute woman comes in and sits by herself working on her laptop. I decide she's the one and walk up to her. She glances up at me as I approach and gives me an annoyed look. I don't let that stop me, though, and I continue up towards her. Hello? I just noticed you from across the cafe. I love your hair. Yeah, hold on a second, babe. There's some jerk here trying to talk to me. She looks up at me and points to the Bluetooth headset that's in her ear. Hey, I'm kind of busy here, guy. Do I look like I'd be interested in talking to some rando that walks up to me in a cafe? Go on, leave me alone. Right, sorry. I walk away and don't bother her anymore. You'd think I'd feel defeated after a rejection like that, but I didn't. I feel more confident, actually. I'd been rejected, harshly rejected, but I'm still alive. I could deal with it. I should try that again sometime, though hopefully with a nicer person. I feel a little more confident about myself. For now, I head back to the car. Looks like Susie's in the bathroom. I peek inside. She's taking a shower. Wow, she's gorgeous. I back quietly away from the door. That's all the adult stuff you're gonna get from this right now. Woo! This is gonna be a long game. If you call Jamie, the day will end. If you do your English homework, the day will end. Spend some time doing my English homework, then it's time to get ready for bed. You don't want to fall behind. Oh, we can go to social studies class with Storm. see. I liked social studies. I liked English class until I had this one English teacher, and she was terrible. She made me hate the thing that I damn near... Like, I didn't major in English, I didn't go to college, but I pretty much did all the journalistic work that people that did go to college would do. It's weird, right? It's like, oh, you're really good at writing. You're actually very good at this. You should... Yeah, I was a writer for many, 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 many years. Did all kinds of reviews and interviews with bands and stuff. Had to do a lot of editing, especially for an interview. Sometimes you have to kind of translate them from their English to something that's a little more legible, which is an editor's job, and I did that as well. So I have all those skills. It's just, yeah, didn't go to college for them. It's self-taught. Just years of, I don't know, teaching myself how to do the thing, right? But yeah, I loved English and loved social studies, history, all that kind of stuff. But we used to call it history, not social studies. Meet the barista, have breakfast with Susie again, you can chat with Jamie, you can get a drink at the school cafe, or you can finally meet the barista. Let's do that before we go. I walk up to the counter to order, and the barista comes over and smiles at me. Her name tag says, Tammy. Hey, what can I get for you? A vanilla latte sounds great. Sure, give me just a minute. As she's making the drink, Tammy keeps stealing glances at me out of the corner of her eye. Do I know you from somewhere? Maybe. I used to live here, but I moved to Brazil for college for a few years. That's right. Oh my god, you're Susie's stepbro. That's how I know you. You don't remember me at all, do you? I think about it real hard for a moment, then shake my head. Sorry, I don't. Me and Susie have been best friends for like 10 years. I used to spend the night over at your house all the time. Wait a minute, that was you? Yup. I try to think back. I remember Susie having a friend I remember Susie having a friend over all the time, but I couldn't remember her name. She was a chunky little acne-faced kid, though. Nothing like this woman in front of me now. I do remember you now, but you look a lot different. I got hot, huh? I do like her hair. Well, yeah. You know, I used to have the biggest crush on you. Really? Oh, yeah, when I was 15. You were like the sexiest guy in the world to me. Wow, that's crazy. Still, pretty sexy, I have to say. My face grows hot. Sorry, I'm not trying to embarrass you. Anyway, this one's on me, just because it's nice to see you again. Hope you enjoy the latte. Oh, thank you. It's good to see you again, too. Come back and see me. I will. Thanks again. I give her a smile and then take my drink and head out. She has a crush on me? I wonder if she still does. Maybe I should try to talk to her more sometime? I mean, she's Susie's best friend, but she's pretty hot. There's nothing weird about that, right? She lingers in my mind as I head out to my car. I drive off to school. I go into my social studies classroom and sit at one of the two-person desks. As the rest of the class slowly fills, people sit one per table until every desk has somebody sitting in it. Then the late students are forced to sit next to people they likely don't know. I cross my fingers and hope that nobody annoying sits next to me. A couple minutes later, as I'm pulling my notepad out of my backpack and getting ready for the class to start, I look up to see a girl standing in front of me.
Can I sit here?
Oh, I like her. Sure.
Thanks. I'm Adrian, by the way.
Adrian! Hi, I'm Adrian. Excuse me. Hi, Adrian. I'm Grim. Nice to meet you. She sits down next to me and pulls out her own notebook. I get a whiff of marijuana coming from her, covered by a sweet-smelling body spray. Ooh, a whiff of marijuana and a sweet-smelling body spray. That's my kind of woman back in the day. I ain't even shitting you, that's literally the kind of woman I was with. She doesn't say anything else for the next couple minutes until the teacher walks into the classroom. At first, when I see my social studies teacher, I think that it could just be another college student. Yeah, she's pretty. She seems like she might be in her early 30s, but she's got a hipster haircut colored purple, an eyebrow and nose piercing, and visible tattoos on the arms and neck. Eh, you know, I liked them crazy. That's how I always like it.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ms. Welch.
Your social studies teacher. All right, let's just get into it. Every single one of you at least 18 years old, so how many of you registered to vote? Raise your hands. I look around. A few classmates raise their hands, including Adrian. I've been in Brazil for the last 3 years and am not registered. A lot less than I would have hoped. Oh, Lord, there are voter registration forms on my desk. If you're not registered, I expect you to pick one of those up when you leave. Oh, Lord. She says, this first class, I'm going to spend some time telling you why voting is the most important thing you can do for your country and why you're living in a privileged time and place to be able to do that. Oh, here it goes. Then she does just that. She spends 45 minutes talking about the things that women and people of color have done in history to fight for their right to vote. She talks about how the rich and aristocracy have advantages in many different ways, but they still count just the same as the poor when they vote. She talks about how those in power don't want us to vote. They try to distract us and get us to stay at home, but we have to fight against that. She talks loudly and commands attention. She's obviously very passionate about her job and about the government. At the end of the class, she passes out a syllabus and we go over the things that we will be learning in the class, a mixture of history and government with a very liberal spin. Then when the class is over, I pack up and head out. See you Thursday. See ya. Okay. Well, that happened. Okay, guys. So, this is going to be the end for this one for now. I don't know if we're going to do some more. I was going to try to maybe do another one. What was that one? It would be perfect for this time. Race of Life. I was going to do Race of Life. Because, you know, it's not really hardcore. I mean, it's car racing. Which is kind of wholesome. I mean, it's not crazy. Maybe not the most wholesome game. But, you know, I mean, these are AVNs. But I'm just trying to say we're not doing magic and fantasy. Well, we still will on the weekends. You know, I still kind of want to have those. But during this month, we're trying to focus on, again, the more down-to-earth type games, right? Because that's what we do with November. It's Thanksgiving, wholesome month, all that kind of stuff. So I like to kind of think of it that way. You also have Veterans Day here and, you know, all that. So we're going to do that. And then, of course, in December, we're going to have a very merry Aero-Gay holiday. Christmas, whatever. Alright guys, so I'm out, and I will see you guys next time on Grimm's Uncanny Valley. I don't know if I said Hentai Corner, if I did, just roll with it. But Grimm's Uncanny Valley with more great AVNs. I may pick this one back up and do a little more of it, I may not, just depends. But we're definitely going to do some Race of Life, and maybe some of the Monster College, and it'll be the Monster College and the Lust Academy. Because, of course, we switch them every once in a while. We did, obviously, How to Fix the Future and the Between Two Worlds. You know, I told you we would swap. I've had some issues. I've been working with it, you know. But hopefully we'll get things back to the point where I can actually do those games. But all right, guys. I'm out. Have a good one.